Welcome to episode 149 of Coffee Pods and Wads. As always, this episode is sponsored by Rain Body Fuel, the ultimate fitness-focused drink to support your performance. And the Hybrid Academy are also on board, offering you a discount on their site through Pods10. Seriously, it's the best gear on the market, full stop. Anyone who knows me knows I'm really picky about certain stuff, like socks and shorts, and theirs is just next level. And then their t-shirts are kind of a weird mix of like stretchy but soft. And I know a lot of people who've tried them off the back of me saying that they're good and who have instantly agreed. So if you go to thehybridacademy.store, and then you can use Pods10 for a discount on there. Burboxcoachdevelopment.com will help develop a coach to personal sense your self-discovery while learning academically about the psychological side of coaching. They're now doing in-person seminars as well for the weekends. And you can use a code PODS for 20% off there. You can use the same code PODS for 20% off the gymnasticscourse.com as well. Their courses, if you book one and email them before you book with the code PODS, in the subject line, they'll sort you out a discount for that as well. This week's guest is Lazar Jukic. We chat about the games this year and how he made it there, as well as his plans for 2022 kicking off next month at Rogue. He actually got the invite mid-interview, which is pretty cool. We also talk about the urge that sometimes rises up to change coach and how that hasn't affected him, and why training with his brother didn't quite work out. Enjoy, listen, share and tag. So look, thanks a million for doing this. First of all, I really appreciate you taking time out.
Of course, thank you.
Are you in France now or Serbia?
No, I am back in Serbia. I need to start training earlier, so my plans got a little bit messed.
Okay.
So yeah, I am starting from next Monday instead of. I wanted to start in September, so yeah, I need to compete sooner than I thought. So yeah,
okay,
it is how it is.
What's the coffee scene like in Serbia? Is coffee like is it a big thing there, or is it kind of like not?
I think coffee is big thing everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You were in France. So your girlfriend lives in France?
Yeah, my girlfriend lives in France because she's finishing her PhD in mathematics.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, she's smart and happy.
Imagine your kids would be like,
yeah,
little mathematical
genetic pool
gymnasts. Do you bounce back and forth between Serbia and France a good bit then?
We started dating just 2 weeks before I went to work in Kuwait.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And she was just starting to study in France, so I was traveling. One full year, Kuwait, France, and she was coming to Kuwait, and we were, since we started dating, it's a long distance relationship, and after 1 year, it just got COVID just happened after my 1 year in Kuwait, so I came back to Serbia, and now we are just Serbia and France, which is much cheaper and much closer.
What work were you doing in Kuwait?
I was coaching there.
Oh, okay. Why Kuwait?
There's a lot of money there.
A lot of oil, a lot of money. Yeah, okay, that's fair. And how long were you there for? A year, is that what you said?
I was there for a year in it's a chain of gyms, and they have CrossFit also. So it's called Circuit Plus.
Okay.
And I was there as a CrossFit coach. And they wanted me both as an ambassador of their company and as a coach. So I was coaching 3 hours a day for crazy salary. So yeah, I just couldn't refuse that offer when I got it.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. I heard you, so you're on Savan's podcast. I also feel guilty calling it Savan's podcast because like Brian's there as well. And he does some of the heavy lifting too. So you're on like during the games with your brother, and then you're on afterwards.
Yes.
On your own. How did you find being interviewed? I noticed that like you seemed very familiar with him from like, I assume, his podcast and behind the scenes and stuff like that. So did knowing him and like knowing what he's about, did that make it like more like easier and more enjoyable, or did it add extra pressure to it?
Well, we were so scared before we talked to him, because you know, Sevan is weird guy. He
That's fair.
He asks you stuff that you are not expecting to be asked.
Yeah.
So yeah, he takes you on the spot. So you're like, I don't know what to say. Maybe maybe I'll make a joke. Maybe I'll be serious. Like, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I found like, he's like, he's definitely entertaining.
Definitely.
And he's definitely like, I think he's a very good interviewer because of that, like, because he'd be talking to you about, like, you know, fitness, something to do with fitness, and then he'll throw in a random question about like your relationship with your dad or something that you're not expecting. But like, because people are talking about something that they're passionate about, they'll keep talking about the next thing that he asks. So it, like, it is clever. And another thing I think I like that he does is he asks questions that he knows the answer to, and that most people know the answer to, just in case something, like, I've heard him ask, like, what are double unders, like, to someone before? And it's like, everyone knows what they are, but he's just in case something comes out of it, he asks it anyway. But yeah, he's divisive, I'd say. he divides opinion. Have you, so like, I noticed on Instagram you're doing your debrief of the events, which seems to be the, I think, like, maybe the last like 2 years, like, or 2.5 years, it started where after events people would put up, like, they go through event by event. Do you feel like pressure? Because I know that you know Vellner pretty well, and his debriefs are like incredible so far.
Yes.
Like, they've been really good. So when you sit down to start typing about an event, are you like, oh shit, I need to be funny, or I need to be like, it needs to be interesting, or is it just like, get it out there? Is it more like, is it for the fans that you're doing it, or is it like almost like a type of diary entry, like just to get like thoughts about it out?
It's I started doing it because people were asking me so much about it.
Yeah,
like, hey, how was this, how was this, how was this? So I'm like, it's better to write something that people can read and maybe they can enjoy, like, because you can people can only see what CrossFit gives them to see, like events and results and after event interview, but they don't really know how competitors feel, how they go through events, how they fight with some stuff. So yeah, I got so many questions that I needed to write those. So.
Yeah. That's what these are for. That's what podcasts are for, getting into that a little bit. What age were you when you started doing CrossFit?
20.
So like five years ago.
Yeah, 5-6 years ago.
And did you play?
19, actually. 19.
You played water polo when you were
I played water polo for 10 years since I broke my arm, my right arm in a wrist in my first grade of school.
Like running race?
No, I broke my arm while me and my brother were playing. Like, I was trying to be a Spider-Man between the doors, like, you know.
Oh, like where climbing. You go. Yeah. We've climbing, all done that.
And he was running. He was running under my legs, and I slipped and I dropped and I broke my arm. And our mother was not there. At the time, she went to buy groceries, and we were not that young. I was 7 years.
Yeah, you were old enough to know better.
Yeah, yeah. and when I fell, I was just asking him, please don't tell mom. Please don't tell mom.
Yeah, like, she's not gonna find out when your arm is hanging the wrong way.
Yeah. So yeah, it's actually a funny story. Now it's funny. Back then it was not funny because. They put my arm in the wrong position, and it healed wrong. And when I got the, how it's called, removed the cast, I couldn't move my arm.
Okay.
I could just move it in the elbow and not in the wrist.
Oh, it was like a nerve was obstructed or something.
Pinched or something. Yeah. And they needed to break it again.
You're like, don't tell my mom.
Yeah. And it was no anesthesia, no operation. They just broke it behind my back and they twisted it.
Because this was not in a hospital.
It was in a hospital. It was
this
urgent.
Is at the back. This is at the back of a pub or something.
It was urgent, and they needed to do it exactly like that. So yeah, I was wearing a cast for, I would say, a month and a half.
Jeez, and what age were you? First grade. What age are you in first grade?
Seven, like seven. Six, seven. Yeah. And when I got over it, when it finished, I got. I needed to do some physiotherapy in the pool and stuff like that. And it was a pool where swimmers and water polo players were training.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw those big guys that looked like gorillas. Like, I want to be like that. So, I started training and stayed there for 10 years. Changed two clubs. Went almost professional, but it was too much politics. And team sport, so like you need to have good connections, good influence behind you, so you play, so you can play. And it wasn't the case for me. So yeah, it was too much of an effort for not a lot of money, and I was spending too much energy on that. And I just decided to like stop with that. And then I got into college. Started with economics, and yeah, that's basically the story of water polo.
Yeah. Is water polo like so you said about turning professional, is that like to represent your country, or is there like leagues in Serbia as well?
Well, there are leagues, but the main thing is to represent Serbia. Like it's also a big league in Serbia, but it's not so much. You can't earn a lot of money as a water polo player. So
you would have been an Olympian then, basically.
Yes. That would be the goal. Yeah. So to win Olympics, you like medal with Olympics with Serbian team, it's pretty easy because Serbians are the best in water polo. And then you get a bunch of money from country. You get a house, you get a car, you get a salary for the rest of your life. So that's the goal basically.
Right. And water polo is not like, it's got like, there's like, is it a hoop or is there like a goals, like a soccer?
It's a goal. It's a goal. Okay. It's a goal. It's a goal floating in the water.
And all the horses just wear snorkels, is it?
Exactly.
All those dead horses from water polo. Do you think then that sport was like, was that always going to be your profession? Because like, you know, like that kind of having some kind of competitive outlet, I guess, because if you were into water polo and then found CrossFit, but like economics is obviously a weird step in the middle. So had you kind of moved away from sport and then came back to it?
No. In Serbia, you need to go through school. And at one point you need to, like after 8 grades, you have additional 4. And you need to choose your profession, basically. Okay. So you can choose whatever. You can choose economics. You can choose army. You can choose medical. You can choose, I don't know, like computers, whatever, IT. So, I chose economics because I at that time, I watched a lot of Wolf of Wall Street and stuff like that. So I was thinking it's all like that. So I chose economics and I really liked it for those 4 years. And when you finish those 4 years, you go to college. So yeah, it was for me, it was natural path to, after my 4 years of economics, go to economic studies.
What age were you when you picked economics?
15.
It's crazy, isn't it? That you're
no,
it's like
14, 15, yeah.
When you're 14 or 15, 15, to be like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, we do that when we're like 17 or 18, and I still think it's terrible.
Too early.
Like, hey, so let's nail you down for 4 years. What do you want to do? It's like, do you want to, you know, do you want to work? What one job do you want to do for the rest of your life? Like, you know, until you're like 70, just tell us now, and then we'll make it happen. Crazy. I was interested to see that you you qualified for the CrossFit Games. This is your third year qualifying.
Basically third year, yeah.
And in 2019, you turned it down, so you didn't want to do it. Is that was the year of the national champs. Is that how you qualified?
Yeah.
And would the logical thing not be to go and experience it and build on it then? Like, what made you decide to just say no?
For me, I was watching the game since I started training. It was since 2015, and it was always a pinnacle of physical preparation. And like, there's 40 people, and I, in my mind, there's only 40 people that are deserving of the spot. So in 2019 they changed the rules and everybody qualified. Suddenly 200 athletes, 200 male, 200 female. Like, it's not in my mind, it's not how it goes. And I think I was right not to go. And it was also, I was thinking I was not ready, in the sense that it's an expensive trip to go from Serbia to US, and to pay for your apartment, to pay for your food, to pay for everything, and then not to earn anything from it. And it was my decision to just keep that year, continue working, and bet on my future, that when I do come and when I do qualify, I will do something good, and I will have some interest of it, and not just be there to fill the numbers.
And did your place go to second place in Serbia then?
No.
Just nobody went?
Just nobody went. Huh. Hey, it was a little bit selfish from my side, but...
it's an individual sport, so
yeah,
you're allowed to be selfish. So
I deserve that spot, but yeah, I just... nobody else beat me to get that spot. Yeah, so I was thinking if I don't go, nobody goes. So I think it's fair.
You could have sent Luca and just said nothing. Just give him your passport.
Like, no, he was not. You're right. Yeah, but he would still spare my rookie year. So I was not willing to do it.
Yeah. So when you qualify for the games, you get an email saying, like, mm-hmm. Is it like a tick a box? Do you just tick a box saying yes, I will attend, or no, I will not attend?
It's something like that. Yeah.
So you when need you to
accept or decline. So
was there a big? I just imagine, like, there must be a little bit of angst around saying no. Like, there must be a little bit of, like, is it definitely the right thing to do? Like, a little bit of back and forth.
For example, I got email on Monday, and then I had 2 weeks to decide. So I
would be better if it was like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I waited for the last moment. It was a lot of thinking. It was maybe I'm ready. Maybe I'll do good. Maybe I will not do good. Maybe and then you need to weigh the pros and cons. And so.
And were you anyway deflated by, so when you take no and like send it back, and then that's it, like, you know, like, nobody rings or nobody calls saying, are you sure? Like, you know, this is your last, you know, like, so like, no, was there a bit deflated after you said no? Or were you just a bit like, oh, that's it, like, back to work?
I got a bunch of messages like, good luck at the games, good luck at the games.
No.
And then I made a post, and then I got so much people telling me I'm right.
Yeah,
that then I actually felt like I made a right decision. So
yeah,
and actually, there's to get back on Sevan, like, he's not counting 2019 athletes as CrossFit Games athletes.
A lot of people aren't. I interviewed Nico. You know, he's part of the media crew, and he was talking about that there's going to be a 2018 documentary coming out, and he said at the very end of the episode, he was like, and you know, 2018 was the last year of CrossFit. And then he said something else, and I forgot to like pull him up on it. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people who've been around a long time.
Just, I think the same.
2019 was just a blip. And then 2020 was obviously fucked up for different reasons, but like that, this year seemed to go back to it. How would you rate your first in-person games experience then? Was it everything that you hoped it would be? Like, even say if we take the placing out of it, if we take your performance in the events, like if we take you the competitor out of it and just have you the human experiencing it, like, was it as enjoyable as you thought it was going to be? Was it like, did you, you know, I imagine the one of the perks, one of the best parts is like being made to feel really special in like this small group. Is that something that lived up to its expectation for you?
Yes, it was. CrossFit Games are everything you expect it to be. It's mega, it's so big, it's so much crowd, and it's so organized. You need to be at exact time at place in time. You need to be so like on time, and everything is thought until the last detail. So it's for so many competitors, so much crowd. So much crowd, so many people are in that, and it still goes perfectly. It's unbelievable.
So, what was the last in-person event you did? Was Dubai last year?
I went to a small competition in Bulgaria just to have a feeling of competing, but it's basically my
same but different
competition is Dubai.
And did you have to psych yourself up for? Okay, there's going to be a crowd, and there's going to be because obviously when you're doing it, say when you're doing the German throwdown, it's online and it's maybe you and your brother, and then you have no one else really to watch or compare yourself to. Is that something that you had to kind of prepare yourself for?
The only competition I can compare to the CrossFit Games was regionals in Berlin.
Okay.
In that stadium, it was similar to Colosseum. It was full crowd, full capacity. And everybody was screaming, and it was so big that is the only place I can compare to the CrossFit Games, and only to Colosseum. Because in Dubai, it's big competition. You are competing against big names, but there's no crowd. There's maybe 500 to 1,000 people watching. But this experience was something special. Everywhere you go, there's, I don't know, millions of people watching, screaming. So yeah, it was special for sure. But after so much time competing online in front of nobody else, just your closest ones, so it's different for sure.
And how did the atmosphere so you mentioned Dubai and regionals and stuff. I've read other people say, Vellner put up a post the other day where he was saying that the crowd in the Colosseum will push you one or two ways. It'll give you a push that you need, say for the snatch event or the clean ladder or something, but then it can also push you over the edge and make you take a risk or make you do something silly. Had you any mixed feelings about the atmosphere in there? Maybe taking a step too far on some events or anything?
For me, I got to experience that firsthand in the event number 7 with heavy cleans.
Oh yeah,
I warmed up until 325, which was starting weight, and that's a heavy clean for me. And when you're cold, because you're corralled for 10 minutes, you need to go outside and lift cold, almost your PR. It's scary, and I took it really carefully, and then I started one bar, 325, other bar, 330, 335, 340, 345, 350. It's and 350, it's my PR. I never lifted more than 350. And after everything you've done, it's really unlikely to do it. I was last man on the floor, and I started waving my hands let's go, I need help from the crowd, and everybody started screaming. When you are down on the field, when everybody starts screaming, the floor is shaking. You can't believe. And I just focused, everybody is expecting you to lift this. When crowd is yelling, there's only two outcomes. Either they can go, oh, or they can go, yeah. So I really didn't want them to go, oh. So
yeah, you didn't want to just deadlift it.
Yeah. So I pulled it, and I can bet if it was 100, if it was 400 pounds and not 350, I would clean it. It was so much adrenaline rushing that I wanted it to be 170 just to make a PR. So yeah, it was.
You're
shouting
amazing for more plates.
Yeah, I said it a couple of times, but I won an event at the games, and it's not my favorite moment of the games. That was my favorite moment for sure.
Yeah, I remember being impressed with a few of your events at the games, and your performances in general. And I mentioned it on one of my stories, and I got a couple of replies about like the pegboard workout, and about like, you know, oh, it's not nice to see someone like disagreeing with their judge, and you know, like that's not what you want to see and stuff. What happened during that workout that led to those interactions?
I really got.
We'll go from your best moment to your worst.
Yeah, it's not my worst moment, but I dealt with it good after the workout. I wasn't angry, making a scene out of it or something. I was just not happy with how it went. I just, okay, it's done. You can do nothing. Just move on. So yeah, what happened was workout started. I go do a peg. I go do a dumbbell overhead squat. And then I went to double unders. And first double unders, I count. I do 16 and my judge counts 15. Like, okay, maybe I counted wrong. Maybe it was 15 reps. So yeah, maybe I counted wrong. And I went to do another peg, another dumbbell. And then I go double unders again. I again do 16. I'm like, okay. I go, it's already third round. Peg, dumbbell, heavy double unders. I look to my left and my coach is telling me, stop doing 16 double unders. I'm like, okay. And I go again, and he again counts 15, but I'm doing 16. And then it was not actually like me yelling at the guy. It was me telling him, you're counting 16. I'm doing 16 reps each time. And he was nice. He was like, okay, do 15. Do what you think it's 15. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And it's fourth round, I go 15. And come back, and he calls me back to do another one. So I did 15 reps, went to the peg, and he's like, no, reps. Go back. And I
that
one.
Was only going to go one way. If he tells you, if he's counting 16 and you think you're doing 15, or you think you're doing 16, he thinks you're doing 15, and he says, just do what you think is 15. Like, that's only going to go one way, surely. Yeah.
And, it costed me an event win, I think. So, yeah, I was pretty pissed about that because I did 11 double unders in 11 rounds that I did. 11 extra.
Yeah.
And Cole Sager won the event by 5 double unders more than I had.
Yeah, okay.
And I already did 11 extra, and not counting the time I spent going back and do one extra rep. So, yeah, and I got a bunch of no reps on overhead squat, which I'm thinking it were not no reps. So what can you do? When the workout was done, he gave me a scorecard, and I'm like, I'll not sign this. I'll make an appeal. So I went to the boss, head judge. He was super nice about it. He was like, I understand. I counted. I can give you one more rep, like the one that I did extra.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, I need five. And I'm telling him, like, if you count 4 seconds, an additional rep, it's 10 seconds.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds, you could do five double unders. In 10 seconds, you could do 12 double unders.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
you could.
He's like, I can't play hypotheticals. Like, you could have tripped. You could be tired. Okay. So I can't really give you 4 additional reps. But my explanation to him was, but I already had 11 more. You don't need to give me a pegboard. You can just give me 5 double unders that I already did.
Yeah.
And he was not willing to do it. And at the end, at the after party, it was 3 points. Like, I got second. If I got 100 points, it was 3 points, and it wouldn't change anything.
Oh, yeah.
On the leaderboard, and I would just have $10,000 more because I was wearing nanos. So I'm like, boss, if you just gave me that tied first place, I would have $10,000 more. Sorry, man.
And it's interesting, like, because I remember at the end the camera showed your judge like holding up the scorecard and offering you a pen, and I remember you like, you know, refusing the pen. And I remember my wife turning to me being like, God, why is he not signing the scorecard? And then my genuine response was, I'd say his grip is fucked. He probably can't hold 10. Like, that was my, because I hadn't seen anything going on. And I was like, I'd say he probably just can't hold the pen. I wouldn't be able to hold the pen. And then, like, you know, forgetting that, like, it's not fucking difficult to take a pen and scribble it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was funny when I realized afterwards what was going on. A lot of my favorite stories from the games this year came from, like, rumors and stories that were, like, behind the scenes that I think, like, maybe last year set the precedent a bit, but this year seemed like there was a lot of information shared about, like, interactions between the athletes and stuff that maybe we haven't seen a lot of before until the documentaries come out. But I think, like, everyone was very active on social media throughout, or they had someone running their social media while they were competing and stuff. Like, one of my favorites was Pat giving you sorting you out with a pair of nanos for one of the events that you felt confident in. How much of the 10,000 did you have to give him for that?
I was offering 3 from Noble. Like, you can have 3,000 from Noble, I'll have 10 from Reed.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, he's like, no, you just keep it. I'm happy you earned some money to pay for your trip. I'm like, Pat, yeah, you're a good funny. Dude.
On one of his event recap, I think it was a handstand push-up one or something, he said that he offered Medeiros, he said something like, oh, I did some quick maths and realized that if Medeiros lets me win, I can give him half the money and still come out on top. But, you know, it's like, it is great though. Like, it's great that Noble didn't have exclusivity, and like that Reebok were able to come in with, now it's a shot to nothing for Reebok, because on the face of it, they're offering $1 million. But in reality, they're only going to have to pay out, like, they knew they were going to have to pay out fuck all on the female side, because T is going to win most of the events. But, like, it is great that that opportunity is there, because, like, I mean, one event win, your trip is paid for.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think that that's, if that continues, do you think that that's going to make it easier to be a professional in the sport then?
Of course. The more money, the better the opportunity, and it's easier for us to like, most of us are now full-time athletes, and that prizes and sponsorships and those are the only sources of income. So the more the opportunities, the better. So I hope next year Nike says, if you're wearing, socks or a belt or whatever, we are giving you 20,000. So yeah. You wear.
I was waiting on the swimming workout. I was waiting for someone to turn up in nanos. I was waiting for Janikowski to be wearing like nanos in the.
Just leave them in front of the finish line and.
She's like, technically, I wore them. Yeah.
But they said in the waiver that you need to sign. The only eligible events are the one where you actually wear shoes. It's they're cutting off the swimming events. So.
That's fair. I think that's fair. And you knew Pat and Brent and a few others from Dubai, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you like, so did you like hang around? Because you were in the same heat as them for
all of
a good bit of it.
Just one.
So
just one I was in third.
Did you feel an easier sense of belonging when it was like, oh, I know these guys, I've competed with these guys before, I've chatted to them in the off season stuff? Or is it like, did that take away any of that maybe nervousness that other people might face in their rookie year?
Definitely, because they're nice guys, but you need to know them so they can be nice guys, you know? Like at the games, everybody is so focused that they are not really making any new friendships.
Yeah.
So if you don't know a guy already, you're not going to really get to know him that much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know them from Dubai, and I knew a lot of the other guys. So it was, for me, I was like, we're just seeing each other again. So it was, especially Pat and Brent, they were so nice because they're older than me, and they've been in the game for a long time. So I asked them a bunch of times for advices and to help me with something, to, I don't know, to tell me what to eat or whatever. But and they were so nice about it. And they never said, I will keep that to myself. I'll not share experience. I'll not share my knowledge. Yeah. And it was really, really nice of them. Great guys.
Yeah, I'm very fond of the two of them. I think they're great. Another story I heard was that like a random Serbian benefactor basically like looked after you when you got to America with somewhere to stay and essentially like a pre-game camp, I guess. How did that come about?
It was so weird because Luka is coaching at one box in Serbia. It's called CrossFit NS. And that guy lived in Novi Sad, in the city where we live. So he came to the class. And before even the Open started, he said, when you two guys qualify for the games, I'm taking care of you in New York. And then we're like, come on. If both of us qualify, there's really small chance for both of us to qualify. And we started the season and we progressed, and then qualified for the games. And we even forgot about that guy. His name is Branislav. Yeah. And he just contacted Luka and he's like, I'm still keeping my promise. When you're coming to New York, I'm taking care of you. And I never saw him. Luka saw him once. And
this is the kind of story where you end up locked in a basement for 25 years or something.
But he was so nice, and he's like, I'll pay for your hotel, I'll pay for your food. You don't need to care about anything. You just come, you train. I want to help you because you're representing my city, you're representing my country. And we were like, okay, let's go. What can we lose? And he waited us at the airport, and he's like, it's my pleasure, it's an honor to have you, stuff like that. And yeah, he just left us in the hotel, and it was really nice hotel with kitchen, with everything you need.
This and is he in was New taking York.
Yeah, it's actually White Plains, it's the suburbs of New York, and he was living there. So
what does he do?
He has a couple of companies. He's a
drug empire
businessman. Business, like, he's a successful businessman.
A businessman. Yeah, I get that.
No, for real. He's in IT, and he just helped us. We just couldn't believe how much he helped us. It's unbelievable.
It takes off so much pressure, because that's the biggest the biggest expense is getting there is a big expense, but then staying there is a huge expense. So that must have been a massive relief. Like,
and it was too much for us to travel to New York because we needed to have a direct flight to US.
Okay.
Because we couldn't travel through Europe.
Oh, Europe. Okay, yeah, the Schengen area,
So we went Belgrade and New York. And then if we continued New York, Chicago, Madison, it would have been so big of a trip. It would, like, crush us.
Yeah.
So we went Belgrade, New York, and then he jumped in and helped us. And we were in New York for 5 days. We got a perfect CrossFit box where we can train. We had food, perfect food. He was arranging a transport for us. Like, we didn't care about anything. It was just like, how can we repay you? He's like, just do your job. I'm happy to help.
Wow, like, that's crazy.
At this point in his life, I think he wants to give something back to I don't know what, maybe karma or God or something. Yeah. I don't know. He just doesn't need to care about anything. He has his life settled, and he just wanted to help young and guys who are striving to do something big. And I think
well, it's amazing if he's into CrossFit.
Yeah, he's into CrossFit. He's a huge CrossFit fan.
Yeah, and then if he's Serbian as well, there's so many points of pride there of, like, I guess, like, a feeling of involvement of, like, two Serbian guys went to the games, did really well, and I helped them. You know, I played a small part in them doing it. Like, so that's an amazing story. So when I was listening to you on Savannah's show with your brother, that was at the end of the first day, and, like, you were, like, in high spirits, you were, you know, enthusiastic and smiling, and, you know, you didn't look tired or anything. how did your energy and I suppose your attitude change as the week went on? Like, so say Wednesday evening when we saw you there on Savannah's show compared to like Saturday evening, was there a big change in like you and how you engage with people and stuff, or were you fairly consistent over the week?
Oh, it was a roller coaster. For me, it was all the day were good, and even days were bad. So yeah. First and third were great days, and the second and fourth were really bad. So yeah, we started great actually. At least I started better than I expected. I finished the day at 8th place first day, and then I was like, great. It's I had energy to talk to everybody, and I was in a good mood. And then second day came, and I also did good. But as week progressed, you stop spending energy on stuff that are not primary. So the only thing you need to focus on is your performance, and I even stopped talking too much with my coach. I just didn't want to talk to anybody except Luca. Luca and my girlfriend were the only two people I was talking to. So yeah, as week progress, you get so much more and more and more tired that you're just not. I was not checking social media. I was not checking my emails except for a schedule. And so like I when I finished the games and opened my Instagram, it was full of everything. I didn't see anything. I didn't respond to anybody. So, and especially your headspace goes from good event to bad event, and like you're in a good mood and you're in a bad mood. So yeah, after the day three for me, I was in a great mood. I won event. I took second place and I almost PR'd my snatch, which was great for me. Great day. And then fourth event, I came into the fourth day. I came into it like feeling confident, feeling great. And then I got punched in the face by the yoke carry. And I just took 18th out of 20 guys in a workout that I should place top five. Yeah. So it was just a punch in the face. And then from being happy, you finish the event, you go outside and start yelling, screaming. It's just a roller coaster of emotions. Like you can't. I think people can't really understand how it goes when you're 15 events.
Yeah, your adrenaline must spike so many times, and then you get these huge elation moments of like incredible happiness, and then like even if something just doesn't go perfectly, you're going to get pissed off about it because you've had that huge high, I guess. Is that something that you think, say, obviously the plan is to qualify next year. So is that something that you think you'll be more mindful of, say, from the Wednesday on, of being like more level rather than having those peaks and troughs?
Yeah, definitely. Next year, my plan is to qualify again and to qualify for many more years to come. But this was a learning experience, and I learned so much about myself, about my training, about how I need to approach the workout, what I need to focus on in a workout. It's different in a training and at the games. At the games, you think, for example, event number five with ski and the rope, yeah, and sandbag carry. I could have signed, I will win this event. And I took 12th.
Yeah.
Just because I made mistake of going too hard on the ski, I couldn't climb a rope because of the ski. And at training, you like, okay, I went a little bit harder on the ski. It's not a big deal. I climb the rope every 10 seconds. And then you go to the games and you make the same mistake. And it's not really a fight for top three, top five. You're over 10th place. So yeah, at the games, every small mistake costs a lot. So next time, just keep your head focused and try to take as much as you can from each event, because that's what you need to do through the whole week to be higher in the rankings. Like, for example, BK Fikowski and Wellner. Wellner got one hiccup at a swimming event, but other than that, the guys at top are just leveled. Yeah. 5-4-3, 5-4-3, yeah. 7-10. Maybe they have 1-10 to 1-15, but it's still a good placing. And yeah, like they're not having they didn't make mistakes and take 30th place as I took 30th in a sprint, because yeah. I was trying to like push the guys and position myself better, and I went slower yeah. because of that. So like experience gets you so much in CrossFit games that I think with each year you evolve both mentally and physically. So yeah, I hope next year I do better in all those stuff. Mental preparation, sports system, strategy in the workouts. I come there stronger, and yeah, I just hope I make it even better next year. So we'll see.
What's it like training and competing with your brother then? Like, are you
competitive? We're not training together.
You're not? Are you love?
No.
Did you in the lead up to the games though?
No, never.
Oh, okay. Is that like a phrase or like I don't train with my competitors thing?
No. it's a funny story because we tried training together. And man, it's just insane.
Is it just like one of you will die if you keep that kind yes. of way? Yeah.
there's a funny story. We wanted to have a competition. Just a second. Well, here's a nice little surprise. Wow. An invitation from Rogue.
Awesome.
Just live.
Wow.
So, yeah. Voila. And, there's a funny story. We started training together on a Monday, one Monday. We're like, okay, from today we are training together. And we'll do this to get ourselves better competitors and to have more intensity in our training. And we had a plan of going to our session. The first part of the session was a workout, and then we needed to lift after. We the workout was 70 burpee box jump overs. Every interval, you need to, like, 2 minutes until you finish. Every interval, you need to climb a rope 2 times.
Okay.
So until you finish 70 burpee box jump off. We did it in 3 intervals. and it was just dying. I beat him by 1 second and we fell on the floor and like, we are not doing the session. Like there's a 6 minutes of training there and we are not able to do anything else. So yeah, we were just like, okay, we're never training together.
Put the foot down first? Like, did one of you move quicker and the other one be like, oh fuck, okay, we're going for it?
It's always me. I will go quicker and then he will follow. Yeah. And because it's harder for me, you don't want to lose to your younger brother.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's okay when you lose to your older brother, but it's not nice. But it's like, he's older, he has more years of experience, and
yeah.
Yeah, but if you lose from your younger brother, what am I doing? He's younger and he's beating me. He's not supposed to be like that. So yeah,
we tried, but
we are not continuing.
He joined Misfits,
yeah.
Recently, like the other day, which is like, I guess, a big change. It's a big commitment to change your training and your coach. Is that something that, like, when you see other people, like other athletes, talking about their training and like seeing those training camps and those kind of things, is that something that you'd ever be tempted in changing? Or do you think that you have it set that your progression is going the way that you want, that you couldn't risk changing?
Well, it's for me personally, whenever I changed something, I progressed more. Okay. My first coach was, the first programming was called Road to Regionals. I was with him 1 year, and that was the first program I followed, and I improved a lot from that. Then I started doing with Lucas, coach that he just changed the Forge concept. I started with them for 1 year, and my PRs went crazy. And then I was training with him for 2 years, And then when I stopped training with him, I'm now with my coach for 2 years, and it's going great now because he's always changing stuff. He's always pushing me. We are doing my weaknesses like crazy. So when I started with him, I'm progressing and progressing and progressing. I never stopped progressing. Actually, my lifts are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with where I am right now. So it's okay to change if you don't see that you can gain anything. Like you took everything that you can from something, and now you need something to, because body gets used to the stuff. Mm. So you need to change something when it's not working anymore.
So you just got your I just realized there that this is a video call, so like I know what came in the post and you know what came in the post, but if people are listening, they don't. So you just got your rogue
invitation. Yeah, just yeah. Live. God, it's my cool father envelope, just isn't it? Gave it to me. Yeah, it's just perfect timing, right?
Yeah, amazing. Are you going to be able to go and do that? Are you going to send Bronislav an email telling him you?
I already told him I'm invited because I really want us to become family friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Because man, that guy is so nice. You can I feel like he has a lot of experience that he can share.
Yeah.
Both from a business side, from life side, because he was living in Serbia, ex-Yugoslavia, when there was war raging in the country, and he left for US with no money, with no family, and now he's just financially free. So from 0 to 100, so it's you can learn from that guy so much, and I really want to stay in contact with him. Mm-hmm. Because he was so nice with everything, and you want something like that in your life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I told him see you in October, and he's like, man, I can't wait to see you again. So
great.
Yeah.
And have you? So you said that when we got on the call first, you said that you're going to have to change your training a little bit, and you're going to have to compete sooner than you thought. What does your off season look like? Have you got like it mapped out of what competitions you want to do, or are you going to keep it?
I just have it on my board. I just wrote it today, so yeah, I can read it if you want.
Go.
So off season training starts 23rd August. That's next Monday.
Okay.
First competition is team competition with Luca in Germany. It's called Double Trouble.
Okay.
Pairs of two men. It's it will be, I think, easy competition for two of us, because I don't think many guys can beat us, because even if there are two fitter guys, we are the same. We are same height, we are same weight, we are same...
I mean, if the first workout is 70 speed, burpee box jump over is your sort.
Exactly. And we did a team competition before and we won the competition easily. So yeah, it's... and. The prize is actually pretty good with so it's $10,000.
Okay.
10,000 euros actually, which is more than $10,000 a little bit, and
that's Rogue travel paid for anyway.
Rogue is actually paying their everybody who they invite. They're paying everything. They paying ticket, they pay hotel, they pay
that's incredible food. Isn't it?
So yeah, you get invited and you don't need to think about anything. So yeah, the Rogue is definitely next one. So Double Trouble is 2nd to 3rd October. And then I'll probably travel from Germany to US.
Okay.
Because they removed the thing that we can't travel to US from Europe. So it's safe for me to travel from Europe. Rogue is 29th to 31st. So at the start of October, I have a competition with Luca. And at the end of the October, I have a competition at Rogue. And then I need to choose between two competitions. Either Mayhem Heat,
okay,
in Emirates or Dubai. Both are great competitions, and but I'm leaning more towards Dubai. Not because of anything else, just because of the dates.
Okay.
If I,
it's a small. Going, the Mayhem one is a small field, isn't it? Isn't it like 12 people or something?
It's 20 people.
20. Okay. Yeah.
And okay. Yeah, and it's just 2 weeks after the Rogue, which.
Okay,
if you're going, you need to travel from US to Dubai.
Yeah.
And it's big jet lag. coming up your way. So I think it's better for me to come back to Serbia and then travel for Dubai. And Dubai is only in December, late December. So it's more time to get time off from Rogue and then prepare for Dubai.
Yeah.
And then it's my season, my off season will practically be over with one of those competitions, either Mayhem Heat or Dubai. And then we start with next year, open quarterfinals, semifinals. And yeah, my big decision now is, am I doing these competitions in a sense, if I'm doing Mayhem or Dubai, maybe I will not do them at all because I need to get stronger. And if I continue competing, I'll not be able to focus on improving.
How long of a window do you think you'd need to get to where you want to be for strength?
I was talking to my coach and I asked him if it's it will be enough 8 months starting December, late December into until the August when the games are happening again. So there's 8 months, 8-9 months, I'm not sure. And is that enough to build at least 5 kilos on each lift? 10, I think it's not possible, but five would be nice. And he says 8 months is okay for that. I really hope. And so I will see. Maybe if I start with Rogue, I have 10 months.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
If you win Rogue, you can just...
If I win Rogue, I will not compete until the game. So for sure, yeah.
Well, there you go. There's your inspiration.
Good thing is that you're getting paid anyway.
Yeah.
For the Rogue. Everybody who comes are getting paid. The least you can get is $5,000. So, and your trip is paid, so you don't have any.
But if you win Rogue, you never need to do anything ever again because the prize money is
$217,000.
Yeah, and there's Bitcoin as well, isn't there? So you can just leave
Bitcoin
that.
Also, yeah. Just one Bitcoin and I'm good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, look, we'll finish with a quick fire. So they're all either or. So ski or row?
Row.
Dumbbell or barbell?
Dumbbell.
Snatch or clean?
Clean.
Legless rope or pegboard?
Pegboard.
Assault bike or echo bike?
Echo bike.
And I think you've answered this already, but favorite memory of the games this year?
Event 7 last lifts.
That's cool. Well, look, it's great getting to talk to you. It's great getting to know you a bit.
Thank you, man. Same.
And it's just a remarkable season. And I'm excited to see what you can do this year. It sounds like you've got everything mapped out nicely. And sure, you can come back on when you win Rogue. You can give me half a Bitcoin and come back on.
Sure. If you predicted it, I will definitely consider it. I will come back to your podcast and you will predict I win the games and we are set up.
I can't lose. All I have to do is say, yeah, you'll probably win it every time. It's fine.
To everybody who comes and then you're like, easy.
I'll just delete the ones that don't work and then just leave the ones. I'll be like, I'm a genius. I'm a savant. Well, look, best of luck with everything. Stay in touch. I'm excited to see what you can do this year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.